Today, I'm interviewing my daughter. She is the reason that I am doing what I'm doing today. Her signature is literally on everything I do. She was so difficult to parent. She is an introverted thinker, a type 8 on the Enneagram. 75% of girls are feelers, which means they are more emotional when they make decisions, and only 25% are logical thinkers. My daughter's brain works completely opposite of my brain. And this might be the case for many of you listening if you have a daughter or a son wired, number one, with introverted thinking. This interview will give you insight into how their mind works, how to connect with them and communicate with them. Type 8s can be challenging to raise. You can go to wendygossett.com and get a free resource with all kinds of tips on raising an ISTP, introverted, sensing, thinking, and perceiving child. This is a lion type, and oftentimes a type 8, or sometimes known as the challenger. Have you ever wondered if your child's behavior is normal? Is your child a living puzzle you can't understand? Are you craving insight into the minds of your adopted or stepchildren? Learn how God designed them and how to guide them while also gaining insight into your own joy-robbing patterns. Welcome to Not So Normal Parenting, where we unravel the mysteries of family dynamics from toddlers to teens using team-building tools like Myers-Briggs and the Enneagram. I'm Wendy Gossett, personality prodigy, parenting coach, best-selling author, speaker, and viral embarrassing dancing mom. I raised a son and daughter that are as different as Bob Ross and the Black Widow, and I am definitely not normal. Okay, let's dive into the beautifully not-so-normal together. Excited today because I have my wonderful, amazing, inspiring daughter here with me. She is the reason I'm doing what I'm doing today, and her beautiful calligraphy is actually my name in my logo on everything I do, because Jordan, is you're my reason. So welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm so excited.
And so the first thing I'm going to ask you is, how has knowing your temperament, because you grew up with me, but you were the reason I started doing temperament, because I was doing it with business teams and I thought, I can't understand my own daughter and I'm yelling at her all the time for things like not cleaning her room. And I was just, I thought I was going to break you. I thought I was going to mess you up for life because I was such a bad mom. And so I thought, you know, what I'm doing Myers-Briggs and Enneagram with business teams, I can learn my own daughter's personality because I know she's different from me. So I taught you at an early age.
I think it's definitely been extremely impactful to me for the past few years. I would say that I am not naturally very self-aware. I don't think I ever have been naturally self-aware. And I think because of all of these temperament, all these helpful things with temperament, I've been able to see my weaknesses and see my strengths and try and grow in those, which has been extremely helpful. So I am an ISTP and I am an 8 on the Enneagram. And so I'm a little bit different than most girls, I would say. And so the way that I handle emotions and the way that I handle situations logically is going to look a little bit different. And the way that I communicate with others has not always been the best. And empathy has always been a huge struggle for me. But I think through the Myers-Briggs and the Enneagram, as well as just life experiences, I've been able to learn how to have empathy, how to relate to other women, since I don't fit the poster child of a woman, I guess. So yeah, I would say it's been extremely helpful to me in a lot of ways.
And I'm sort of the poster child of a woman because I am a number one feeler. I'm an extroverted feeler. So I show my feelings. I can relate to others really easily. And Jordan is my opposite. So extroverted feeling is her baby function. And Jordan's number one function is logic. It's this out-of-the-box strategic thinking, logical, calm brain. And that's my baby. And so when I was like reacting out of emotion with Jordan, she's probably thinking, my mom's an alien. I have no idea why she's getting so emotional. That's really strange. And so I had to differentiate Jordan and me. I had to tell you from early on, Jordan, we're so different. Oh my gosh. I admired the way you're calm and you're rational because I just lost it. So I've been kind of talking to you like that your whole life and appreciating your strengths. But it wasn't always like that. I didn't always appreciate your strengths. So, Jordan, tell everyone how your amazing introverted thinking brain works because it's a very unusual type of brain for a girl. Because most women, 75% of women, are feelers. They have a feeling brain function as either their number one or their number two function. And you have feeling as your baby function, and you have thinking as your number one function. So talk about how your brain works differently.
Yeah, so I am an engineer, engineering major, going to be an engineer, hopefully, Lord willing. And I love physics, I love math, I love chemistry. I know that's all most people will ask me, Jordan, what major? And I go to Biola University, so it's like a Christian university. It's like 60% woman, 40% men. So most of the people there are not majoring in engineering. Okay, so when I tell people, oh, I'm an engineer major, they're like, what are you doing? Why would you do that? That sounds awful. And to me, I'm like, it's actually fun. It's really challenging, and I like using that side of my brain.
And you love theology. Like you asked for, tell everyone what you asked for your birthday one year. Most of us would read, Twilight, the Twilight series.
I cannot read. Oh my gosh, I cannot read narrative books. I would never, ever, ever sit down and just read a good book. I would read a like systematic theology or the Bible or like some sort of, I guess, like people call like a self-help book, one that will help me grow. And I think one thing I've talked about too with my mom is that I have this kind of productive mindset. So everything needs to be productive. And so I think one thing about reading a book like Twilight or something, I'm like, that's not productive to me in any way, shape, or form. So like, why would I do that? And if I don't enjoy it and it's not productive, there's absolutely no point in my brain. And so logically, it just seems, in my brain, seems stupid to do that.
Well, and she hasn't always been like this. So I'm going to do a little quick riff here on how she has changed because the lion type. So Jordan has an introverted thinking brain, but she's also the lion behavior pattern. And lions morph more than any other type because they learn from life and they learn from doing. So little lion cubs like Jordan, they just want to have fun and they're in the moment and they're not thinking about anything else but what they're going to have for their next snack. And so Jordan has completely morphed. So I'm just going to do a quick morph here or a quick riff on this. So Jordan, you used to eat nothing but junk food, and now what do you eat?
I would say I still enjoy junk food for sure. I love it. It's great. So I have a relatively healthy diet. So for me, compared to what I used to eat, my diet's great.
You used to have a super messy room. We used to fight about that. And you would clean your room by throwing everything under your bed, including like bananas and yogurt. And so, what's your room like now?
I'll show you. This is my I actually didn't clean it intentionally. This is just what it looks like. It's just, it's pretty, I
Yes.
don't know. It's my shoes are over there. My bed's not made, but for the
Okay.
most part, it's pretty clean. Yeah.
And she used to be really hard to get going in the morning, and she wouldn't go to bed. It was hard to get her to go to bed. Now, Jordan, talk about your sleep schedule.
For most of college, my sleep schedule was much more punctual because I was a student athlete. So my freshman and sophomore year, I was very disciplined. I would always go to bed around 9 or 10. And then I'd end up waking up between like 5 and 6. I need to get 8 hours of sleep, and I need to have some time in the morning where I can spend time in the Bible and pray.
You weren't into shopping and anything girly, and all of a sudden that morphed, right?
Yeah, that was just from, I think, being in college, being around other girls, realizing that there's actually fun things about being a girl, and I actually love being a girl. It's just, I think I needed to have really close girlfriends to show me that. Yeah.
And you used to only have one close friend, and now you have a ton of friends. You used to have a really weird sense of humor that nobody understood. Now you have a super weird sense of humor, but it is hilarious. So that's really morphed. Okay, you used to have bad grades, and now name off a couple of your classes. Just name off a couple of the classes you've had.
Gosh. Right now I'm in a class called Dynamics. It's like the physics of moving objects. It's rough.
But what's that one that was quantum?
Quantum mechanics and relativity, so quantum physics, but that's like my third upper division physics class, I think. And then circuits one. I'm gonna have to take mechatronics next year, which is gonna be rough.
And then you didn't used to have any other interests other than watching movies. And I thought you were lazy. I was worried about you because all you wanted to do was watch movies. You were the sensory seeker. And now you have so many interests. It's absolutely staggering. You weren't snuggly at all when you were a kid, at all. And now you're totally snuggly. And yeah, you weren't a dedicated athlete. And now you are. You even went out for sports, and you're a double black skier and used to hate skiing. So can you speak to this morph? Because what happens is introverted thinking is they like to discipline themselves. Introverted thinking is very intrinsically motivated, and it doesn't like to be told what to do. And so it makes it hard to parent a child that doesn't want to be told what to do. So what made you morph from not wanting to do these things to now you're doing them all, like playing piano and skiing and sports?
I think it was honestly just like what you said. If anyone told me to do anything, I didn't want to do it. So it was just a matter of me maturing and growing older. And when I was younger, the things that I wanted to do, and even when I was maybe middle school, late elementary school, when I started to like skiing and started to like some of these things, I would say maybe even early high school. I can't remember exactly when. But it was because I chose to do them. It's because Jordan made the executive decision. I am going to get good at piano, and I'm going to use that skill for it's going to be a useful skill, and I'm going to ski, like I'm going to be a runner, I'm going to be an athlete, I'm going to be strong and tough. So when I chose to make those decisions, then it was a whole different ball game because I was the one in control. But if anyone was ever trying to like control me, I just didn't care and I didn't want to do any of the things. So
And
I'm
so that's what made me back off as your mom. And then for any parent listening or watching, you gotta let your thinker lion have tons of freedom and allow them to, you have some rules, obviously. We have rules. But you make those rules few and far between, and you let your thinker lion kind of decide and come around on their own. We would tell you what we wanted for you, and then we'd give you a chance to kind of think about it and process it for yourself. And then usually within 2 or 3 days, you'd come around and want to cooperate, but it kind of had to seem like it was your decision.
Yeah, I think that's very true.
So I didn't understand you as a child at all. You were very independent, calm, courageous, and competitive, and that made you a poor loser. too with playing games. And I'm sure a lot of parents have that issue with their lion kids. But and you, it was even more so with you because you're a thinker lion and feeling is in the back seat. So you didn't really care about how other people were being affected by that. So how would you say your competitive nature shows up today, and how do you control that?
Very, very, very competitive person. And I think some ways it still has negative effects on me. For example, I have gotten really into spike ball over the past few years. And the negative part of that is that I try not to play with other people that aren't as good as me because it's like not as fun or it's not competitive, if that makes sense, which is really bad. I recognize that because I want to be able to include everyone. And so there's times where I kind of have to force myself to be just play the game. It's about other people having a good time. Stop making it about like whether whether it's a really competitive, heated game, because I like to feel the heat and the action. I think because I know that I'm a sore loser, I've been able to grow from that and become more self-aware in that area.
As a kid, for the parents listening, I know it's painful when you have a sore loser in the family. So for you, it always helped to make things silly and to kind of make the game maybe a shorter game, or to say, okay, Jordan, the choices are I can let you win or you can win fair and square. Because if you lose, you get really upset. So would you rather me let you in or win fair and square? And then also making the games like shorter, maybe, and not so much invested. And then sometimes we'd even like give a prize if you were the biggest loser to make it kind of silly. But because, yeah, I don't. And so I think that was helpful. But also, it was hard for me because I wanted to relate to you like a mother-daughter, feely kind of stuff. And one of the things we used to do is we'd go on one-on-one trips, and we went to Texas one time, and I took you zip lining, and I thought it was going to be this really great thing for us to connect because you are this sensory seeker and it would be a great bonding thing. But what happened is you would walk 10 feet ahead of the whole group, including me. And do you remember that experience? Because I took it. This was about the time where I'm like, I have to learn my daughter because I was so upset with you because you weren't talking, you were walking 10 feet ahead. And so, in my opinion, in my feelings, it was like, we're not connected. She doesn't care. She doesn't care about mom-daughter bonding. And what were you thinking about?
I definitely wanted to seem tough and seem brave, but I also think that I just didn't. I've never ever liked small talk ever. And so I think I didn't want to talk to you, and I didn't want to talk to any of the other people there just because I didn't want to talk about like, what's your favorite subject? Like, what do you like about this? I didn't want to talk about that. I would just be like, no, like, goodbye.
Wanted to bring up that story for moms who are trying to relate to their daughter with this type. It's not that you were trying to be that way, that's just how you were wired. And I just had to learn to kind of have different expectations for you because you're this very strong, courageous, independent personality type. So I expected you to know how to show and express your feelings. And I remember working with a parent who had her daughter write 100 times, "I will show gratitude." And I noticed that with you, you didn't know how to show gratitude. Like I picked you up to go see Frozen one time in the middle of the day, and I was all excited, and I thought you'd be so excited, and you weren't. Like you barely even responded, and it's because you didn't really know
So
how to
sad.
show gratitude. And so even now, how does that affect you having extroverted feeling as your lowest function? Like, how does that show up for you? How has it showed up for you throughout your life? And how have you learned to kind of work on that? Like, or to, because I know you were uncomfortable in social situations.
And so you also asked me about the extroverted feeling, right? That being So I think that's kind of become more evident to me that extroverted feeling is so low for me. And mom, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think how I've kind of perceived my extroverted feeling. It's not necessarily that. I think a lot of ISTPs probably do struggle to talk about their emotions, but being a girl and being constantly surrounded by girls, that's become very easy for me. Like talking about it has become super easy. I'm able to be like, this is how I feel. Like, this is how I feel. Like, that's just how it is. That's not hard for me. But the hard part is knowing how to handle my emotions, knowing where do I put them? Like, what do I do if I'm feeling this way? Like, can I force myself to feel a different way or to act on that emotion? Or if I'm feeling this way, can I force myself to feel better? Can I force myself to feel something? Like, it's always just an act of like, I'm trying to like kind of force my emotions into a box, be like, all right, you go here, you go here, you go here. And that's, I think that's how I perceive the extroverted feeling. It's not necessarily, I don't know how to talk about my emotions because I do. It's more, I don't know what to do with my emotions.
And sometimes they'll come out like a 3-year-old because they're your 3-year-old brain function. And so, can you talk about that a little bit? How you feel like sometimes your emotions are like a 3-year-old?
Yeah, I feel like the main thing that I can think about, I think, well, there's two things I'm thinking about. I think in dating relationships, it's hard to differentiate what's real and what's not. And so I think I've had to be really patient with my emotions. I think that's wise for me. I think the wise thing for me is to, if I'm feeling a certain way, give it some time. And because I think that sometimes I'll be feeling something, but it's just like out of me being bored or out of me being excited about something, when in reality, it's like it might not actually be a valid emotion. And I might just be like kind of trying to put my emotions in a box, like I said. Which, yeah. And then the other thing that I would say is I think my driving emotion is probably anger. And so, I think I notice a lot of the times myself getting angry with other people. I don't yell ever. I don't ever outwardly get mad. Like, I'm not gonna go fight someone or yell at someone. But I think I just sense this kind of internal, just like, ah, like I'm so, what do I do right now? And so it's more just kind of like this, I feel lost in my brain, just like angry. I don't know if that makes sense at all. It's kind of hard to describe. But I think sometimes, yeah, when I feel anger, it's kind of just like I'm stuck in this situation and I'm like, like I need to force myself out of it.
Have you noticed how many times you've used the word force? So
Yeah.
this is a type 8, ladies and gentlemen. They want to force things. And so as a child, that they're trying to do that and they don't have the emotional maturity that Jordan does now. And I think what's really helpful for a child, if you have a type 8 child, is to make sure it's kind of like having a new puppy. You have to make sure that they get lots of exercise. And like a trampoline was huge for you when you were a kid to have that trampoline to jump on and get your big energy out. Also, sometimes you'd have like just outbursts, like in the middle of class or in the middle of the car, you'd be like, I'm weird. Or you just have these big outbursts. And it's because type eights get bored and they need to feel like, they are alive and having fun and energized. And now you've learned how to make fun in a situation where you're bored. Like when we were in Bangkok at a cocktail bar, Jordan was bored out of her gourd and she started putting ice cubes in my lap because that was entertaining her because I didn't realize you were doing it. And you were just watching. And so that's that random out of the box introverted thinking too, that sense of humor, but also the type 8, like needing to be feel alive and needing to get that anger out with exercise and expressing it, talking about it. Like if you have a type 8 child, let them express their anger, you know, in a respectful way, but let them talk about their anger. Because a lot of times we think that anger is bad and that we shouldn't let you talk about it. So, yeah, so you talked a little bit about you don't like small talk. You've never been one to really like. So if you have a type 8, daughter or son, don't take them out for a coffee date, right? Or take them out for a breakfast date. You did not like that.
Yeah.
You liked fast, and you didn't like going to restaurants either. So we had to take you to like Mongolian barbecue, something that was super fast, or you could watch them cook in front of you because you just didn't like, you didn't like that. So, and that's when I had to adjust my expectations for who my little girl was and not expect you to do what I wanted you to do. But I had to, I had to meet you halfway, and you've met me halfway. So, I've learned from my daughter. I've learned from you, Jordan, so much, because we're opposites. So Jordan is a truth seeker, a justice seeker, being a type eight and being an introverted thinker. They're very much about justice and fairness. And so I'm very much not like that. I'm kind of happy in the gray area. I don't really need to know the right answer to everything. And so Jordan's helped me because she's challenged me to know what I believe. And you've really helped me in that way. So, how has having me as a mom, since we're so opposite, has that helped you, would you say? Be careful how you answer this.
I think that I wouldn't know how to respond to other women's emotions specifically. Because I think, mom, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think sometimes when you're feeling emotions, it's really important for you to feel either validated or corrected in a very gentle and kind way. I think those are two things that I've realized are really important in my girl friendships is validating my friends' feelings, even if I don't necessarily understand them. Sometimes in my brain, I'll logically run through like, okay, yeah, like how they're feeling, it makes sense. And so then I kind of have to force myself to be like, even though I'm not feeling that, and even though maybe it doesn't like, I can't fully empathize with them, like, it's important for me to go out of my way to be like, that makes sense. Like, you can feel this way. It's okay for you to feel these emotions. I'm validating you in that. And then there's also times where I've had to learn how to recognize, because I think as a more logical brain, it's a little bit easier for me to see when emotions like logically are not in the right place. And I think also having a more sensitive and a more sensitive mother has helped me to learn how to like talk about emotions in a very gentle and kind way that's respectful to the person. So I've learned how to have a lot of respect for you, and I've learned how to have a lot of respect for my more emotional friends, because the thing is I've learned so much from you and as well as my other friends that like ENFJs, ESFJs, the more outwardly emotional types, I've really, really grown in friendships and relationships with, because it kind of tugs on all my weaknesses and been like, okay, like you need to work on these now. So, mainly I think just being able to listen to other people's emotions and empathize with them, and comfort them. I would say that's like the main thing that I have learned.
Well, and you have a, people watching this or listening to this probably would never guess that you are an introvert. And probably most people that know you would not guess that either, because you are an extroverted introvert. You're one of those examples of an extroverted introvert because your secondary function, which is what makes you a lion, is extroverted sensing, which loves to have fun and be goofy and play. And but your number one function is that introverted thinking. So can you talk about what that's like being an extroverted introvert?
Yeah, I think especially in college, it's really interesting because I think in college, I probably look like an extrovert. But I think one marker of me actually being an introvert is if you see me like at a big social gathering where I have to exercise small talk a lot, I will not be social for like a day or two after having to exercise a lot of small talk. Small talk is so draining for me. I cannot even explain to you. But like college is a very social setting, so I run into a lot of people that I know, And some of my friendships aren't as deep. So whenever I see these people, this sounds so terrible, but sometimes I almost kind of want to avoid them because I'm like, I don't want to do small talk with them. Like the only thing I feel like that is energizing for me socially is like either just like sitting, listening to people talk and like kind of chiming in here and there. Just like either really deep conversation or really like pointless, aimless conversation, like mindless. It's either like super deep and super engaged and like, wow, this is really impactful and this is really amazing. Or it's like, I don't know what we're talking about. I could check out at any point and it doesn't even matter. So I think more my, I guess, conversation, is where I feel like I can tell that I'm an introvert, but I think I love the group. I love being a part of a group and I love being a leader. I love being strong. So yeah, I don't know
Well,
if
and
that.
I would notice when I'd pick you up from school that me going, "How was your day? What did you learn?" All that was not serving you at all. It wasn't serving either one of us. So I finally, once I learned about you, and it would bother me because I felt like you were giving your best at school. You were all charming and all your teachers loved you. And then you'd come home and you'd just be like, eh. And it's because you were giving all day long and it was draining your battery. And that's how having an introverted driver brain function and then an extroverted co-pilot, that's how it works, is like you were using your extroverted sensing co-pilot and that was draining your battery. And so then you would just want to settle in to just being introverted thinking. And so I just said, "Jordan, you know, it's okay if you don't want to talk. You know, you can talk if you want to, but we don't have to talk." And
Yeah.
then when you were ready to talk, or you just wanted to be goofy and decompress, you know,
Yeah.
then, you know, because that's what you love. And so, Jordan, I think too, when you're leading and when you're teaching, I think that energizes you. And I think listening drains you, would you say?
Yeah. Yeah, it kind of depends on who I'm listening to. 'Cause like if I'm listening to a missionary, an engineer missionary, that's not going to be draining for me. 'Cause that's like my passion, that's what I want to do. But I think if I'm just listening to someone talk about their day and like what they've done, unless it's like a very close friend, like very, very close friend. I think like some of the closest people in my life that can be life-giving, even sometimes not. Like sometimes I just don't want to talk at all. And I know, Mom, you know that. Like sometimes I'm not the best listener to you at all. And sometimes I'm just kind of checked out. But there are sometimes where I think it is. But for the most part, I would say listening is can be pretty draining for me.
Another huge morph you had, and this is probably going to be hard for people to believe when they hear all the classes that you had, but you know, what were your grades like in elementary school? And talk about what kind of a kid you were in elementary school.
In elementary school, I was like a C D student, you know. The best grade I had, I think, was a B.
And where did you sit?
Huh?
Where did you sit?
Yeah, I always sat at the front. I was the troublesome student.
On a bouncy chair.
Yeah, on a little bouncy chair. So
And you had ADHD.
I had to take medicine and I hated the medicine. I hated yeah.
Well, can I talk to that real quick? So she
Yeah.
at first was begging us to put her on the medicine. Do you remember that? You wanted the medicine because you thought that was going to make you instantly like the easy way to a better student. And so we went ahead at first, we put you on a placebo, like a fake pill. Do you remember that? And you figured it out. You figured it out after a while that it was a fake pill. And so you're like, "Put me on the real thing." And so we did a really, really low dose and you hated it. Can you explain why you hated it?
It made me feel like I wasn't myself. I was really calm and I was just like, I feel like I couldn't be excited about things even if I wanted to. So it was just, it made me, yeah, I just didn't like it. It made me feel like a different person. And I think part of it is because I like feeling excited and I like having fun, and I feel like the pill kind of took that away a little bit.
And so that was an awesome way that you learned from experience, because that's how lions like to learn. You learn from experience that having that quick fix pill was not the answer. And so, but you eventually grew out of your ADHD, and you just had a huge morph. And what really changed you, because as a thinking lion, you like to learn from seeing something and having a role model and having freedom. And so we sent you on a mission trip to El Salvador because you were starting to kind of hang out with the wrong crowd. And you were kind of starting to imitate them, and you were kind of starting to be dishonest and lie to us. Do you remember that? And so we sent you on this mission trip to El Salvador. And can you talk about how that changed your life?
I'm not really even exactly sure why that was so impactful to me. I think it was just that was really what God wanted me to do, and I think that He really transformed my heart on that trip. I saw people who were in a just in such a deep need. And that was definitely ever since that trip, that was I wanted to do something about it and I wanted to help. I wanted to be on the mission field. I think that's one thing is I loved being on the mission field. I loved being face to face with the people. And that's the kind of listening that's not draining to me is like hearing new people's stories and hearing where they're from, learning new cultures and things like that. So it was my first time kind of experiencing a new culture in that way. Where I was like kind of in the slums with these people.
And I
It
think just you having freedom and you having these role models, like, the role model you're with, that single gal, I won't say her name, but I think she was like a role model for you because she was a singer, she loved God, and you came back from that trip. You kind of talked like her, you were leading worship like her, you were having a Bible study like her. And I don't know if it was a conscious thing, but I just think having role models and having freedom to decide who you wanted to be away from us.
I would say one thing I will say about like maybe an ISTP, I think it's pretty rare if an ISTP really admires and looks up to someone. I feel like that's pretty rare because even in my life, like I there's a maybe like there's a few people in my life that I truly admire in like in that way, like a mentor kind of way, like I want to follow in their footsteps. Like that's a pretty rare thing for an ISTP, I think, because we're so independent. And so I'm not exactly sure if that's what happened on that trip, but my mentor through middle school and no, through high school was definitely a big part of my spiritual growth. Like being able to look up to someone, was kind of a big deal because I think before her, I didn't really look up to anyone, if that makes sense.
Including your mom. Would you say even would you say that most of the people you admire as mentors are men?
This might sound bad. This is just me being kind of raw and candid. I think I tend to have more respect and more easily admire men because they're more wired like me, because they're able to logically approach their situations and their emotions. Whereas I think sometimes I get bothered when I don't see other women doing that. And so I think it's more easy for me to do that. So even my mentor, like my mentor throughout high school, I think she's definitely more of a logical person. And I think that's part of the reason I admired her is because I think I was actually similar to her in a lot of ways, like very leadership oriented and logical. I think that's where I quickly go to admire, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it totally makes sense. And so I'm just want to encourage parents of your little ISTP that it's not you. It's the way your child is wired. And I had to learn, my daughter, I had to learn that lectures didn't work with you, because if I were lecturing you or saying, how many times do I have to tell you that? You're thinking, are you saying I'm dumb? I mean, it's you're thinking, do you think I'm dumb? And so with your type, it works better to have rewards And then to really be clear with what the red rules are, like rules that are like not hitting or not destroying property or not being disrespectful or lying, you know, those kinds of rules need to be clear, and there needs to be really clear consequence. Like for you, I think we grounded you from friends, or we grounded you from your freedom, because as a lion, freedom is number one for you. So that was your consequence. But then we also had a lot of rewards for you, which was motivating for you, like sensory seeking kinds of rewards. Like we had a treasure box with candy that we let you pick. But one of the biggest things with you is that you are here, you are an engineer with this amazing brain. That's why you were so argumentative as a child, because your one of your number one strengths is negotiation and problem solving. And so you were just, that was your way of saying, can you let me have a say in how I'm disciplined? Can you let me have a say in how this works? And so I started letting you negotiate and help us problem solve. And it made my job as a parent a lot easier. Like I'd tell you, no, you can't go to that party, or you can't go to your friend's house. And you'd say, but well, mom, how about this? How about if I clean my room and we spend some time together? Do you remember doing that? We spend some time together and then I can go, like
Yeah, I was good at compromising
yes,
and
you were.
yeah.
And so let your child have more power. And it might seem like you're being a weak parent, but it's what you need. You need to feel like you have power. You're this powerful type eight. And a lot of ISTPs, introverted thinkers, are type eights. Some of them are type fives. So I would say an INTP might be more on a type five, the observer. But you, as an ISTP, I've met a lot that are type eights. So, do you have any final thoughts about just what you've learned about yourself over the years? And
I have two more thoughts that I feel like I didn't talk about enough about my type is fairness. I think that that is also something that I was thinking about talking about, because that is something I see in my life daily. And so if there's ever a situation where you're dealing with an ISTP and something's not fair, it's just you cannot it's they're not gonna budge.
The problem is it's your version of fairness, and that's actually a type eight's fixation is injustice. Did you know that? Like growth for a type eight is to pay attention to how many times you're thinking about injustice and try to refocus your brain onto another something else, like either your breath or your body, like go on a run or like something, or God or a verse, or you know, something about maybe mercy, or you know, to get your mind off of the injustice. But yeah, could you talk about what we tried to do with you as a kid every time you'd say the dishes were unfair? Do you remember?
I don't remember what we did. No.
We would give you days of the week.
Oh, right. Yeah.
But the problem is there are 7 days in a week, which is not an even number.
Yeah.
So what would happen on the uneven day? Do you remember?
I think that we would both just do it. And now it's, and so I think now what I would say with fairness is one thing that I would have, what I've had to really intentionally focus on is there's a passage in the Bible, and it's when Jesus is speaking in the Sermon on the Mount, where he says, never avenge yourselves, but you're always supposed to seek after the justice of other people. So I have to be very intentional about thinking about other people's justice, seeking after justice for other people. And when it comes to my own justice, like just literally forcing myself to let it go. Because as much as I, like I said, as much as I want to force myself or force the situation, I want to like force the situation in a place, make it fair for myself. Instead, I'm choosing to force myself to be like, nope, just move on. Like it doesn't matter.
And I
And so
think as a parent, all you can really do is model patience, because That's one thing you struggle with. So model patience with your type 8 that nothing's ever fair and just try to make things as fair as possible. And then maybe, we tried to let you determine what was fair and what wasn't fair, but that it didn't always work. But
Yeah.
the more that we would let you kind of have a voice in that, I think that helped. If you're a mom parenting an ISTP boy or an ISTP girl, just don't make them try.
Yeah.
Maybe just let them be a little bit more and don't have as many expectations for them relationally, would you say?
Yeah, I think it depends on what you define as
Well,
like how.
you'd love to have fun. I
Well,
mean,
I also love to have fun. I kind of like to just sit and think too. And I like doing that in the presence of someone. Like, I do like to cuddle with my friends and like I like back rubs and things like that, but those aren't even verbal. None of that's verbal communication. And so I kind of view relating to people and having a relationship with people, I think maybe a little bit different than a lot of people would. I think when people think about connecting with someone, they're like, let's get coffee. But for me, that's not always my first, how do I connect with a friend type of thing. So, yeah.
Yeah, so you, though, as a kid, didn't really even like physical touch that much because you didn't want to hold still, you know? So
Yeah.
I think for you as a kid, I think connecting time with you was usually doing something fun and goofy. And so
Yeah.
you always
Yeah.
loved that.
Yeah, and I still love that kind of stuff. Like the other week I went, my favorite part of this whole camping trip I went on with a big group of friends. Yeah, I liked hiking with them and talking with them, and I liked being around the campground with them and talking with them. Like that's all fun. Kind of just like being casual and stuff. But the most fun part for me was exploring, going off the trail, going up this waterfall, like kind of hiking around, doing something adventurous and new. And so I think that that's definitely still a part of me is I'd way rather go on a hike or like go surfing or do something with my friends than like sit down and co get coffee with them, if that makes sense.
Well, and also I think you have to have an exciting activity because you didn't want to go on walks and you still don't really like going on walks. Like you'd rather do something that's exciting.
I like a really big hike, but not really a walk. I'll walk by myself. I love walking by myself, and I think that's because I like to think so much. I love walking by myself, but I'm not the biggest fan of walking one-on-one with other people or like doing sit-down time. I like to do like a really big intense hike or like some new adventure or like surfing, like I said, or playing spike ball or pickleball or something fun like that. I don't know if that makes sense. So,
Oh, it totally does. But it's so, and then you wouldn't want to do Zumba either, remember? Like, because
yeah, I think
you
it's just
didn't,
I knew
anything that's like a class, you didn't like things that were
yeah.
organized. Oh, and that's another thing to talk about is like your free spiritness. Like, you didn't like when we had a plan because if you didn't feel like the plan in the moment, but then I'd be super busy and you'd be like, Mom, let's go do this. And I'm like, sorry,
Yeah.
I already have plans.
Like if I feel like it. So like I would always feel hesitant about like if you'd be like, "Oh, Jordan, like do you want to go do this in a week?" I'd be like, "Yeah, I'm free, but I can't guarantee that my little introvert self will actually want to do that at the time." So like I would say probably like 30 to 40% of the time I'm like ready to engage in like that type of activity. You know what I mean? Like going, sitting down, having a meal with someone, or like going shopping or something. I'm usually like 40% of the time ready to do that. But the other 60% of the time, I'm like ready to sit around and do something else spontaneous. Like let's go to the store and make some random like dessert or something for no reason. Like if it's not a plan, and I don't know why, but for some reason, like, also, like sometimes planning like going somewhere out of my ways can feel exhausting or sound exhausting. Sometimes just doing something random and fun is like I think for moms and dads who are wanting to relate to your kid, like, maybe like something that I would have loved as a kid is like going to the store with them and like letting them pick out random ingredients to like make some sort of weird meal or something. Like I would have loved that as a kid, being like, oh, like let's like pick these things off the shelf and like let's try and like just make something random. I don't know
We
if that's
did
like
do that once. We
we
had
did
that.
that. I
We
love
took
that.
random stuff out of our refrigerator.
And I loved, I remember, I clearly remember that. We did like a what is the show called? Like Chopped, I think.
Where
Where
you
they
had
have
the mystery basket.
yeah, you had the mystery bag. I loved that. I remember as a kid. So like that's one example of something that's like really weird and random. That I just really liked. Or like tonight, me and my housemate, we're gonna go to the store and we're gonna just like get some stuff and like bake this like thing in a pan. Like it's like this cookie ice cream thing. But we just decided to do that like an hour ago.
Being
And
in a
like
pan.
it's like a cookie thing that she wanted to make. But I got excited about it because I was like, oh, like this is super fun and spontaneous, like just super random. So I don't know if that.
And so poor Jordan, you were stuck in a household full of J's. We're all type J, which is like conventional, planned,
Yeah.
and you were just totally
I love fun.
unplanned and
Yeah.
random, and we're all feelers, and you're the only thinker, and but everybody's an introvert except for me, so you were in good company there.
Yeah.
So anyway, oh, I love you, hon, and thank you for
Oh, love
being
you,
so good.
Mom. Thanks
All
for asking
right,
many questions. I hope this was all helpful.
remember when we did the eating like dogs and you got to eat your food like a dog with your face in the plate? You loved that.
Yeah.
What are some other activities or things that
Yeah.
so anyway, oh, I love you, hon, and thank you for
Oh, love you,
being so good.
Mom. Thanks
All
for asking
right.
many questions. I hope this was all helpful.
That parents can do to connect with their ISTP.
I think that is definitely a really good example. So if you're a parent out there trying to parent your ISTP or 8 kid, if there's like if they hate broccoli or if they hate whatever you're trying to give them, be like, all right, we're all gonna like sit on the floor and we're gonna like move the table. We're gonna like not let the dog in the kitchen. We're all gonna sit on the floor and like eat like we're little animals. That would be so fun to me. Like, putting couch cushions on the floor and like all eating like your animals and like being goofy. I think as a kid, I would have eaten that whole meal. That meal would be gone. I'm trying to think. There's so many other fun things. Building forts, build forts with your and go in and like help your kids with the fort. But I think as an ISTP kid, you let the kid be the leader of building the fort. So be like, okay, how do you want to build this fort? Like, tell me your vision. And then
Oh,
like
that's so good. I forgot about that. Whenever we would cook with you, we'd have to let you be the leader, and
yeah.
you had to tell us what to do.
Yep. So I think building forts was always something that was really fun. Or one thing that I did that was super fun. This sounds so weird, but I had a bunch of stuffed animals and we had a balcony at our house. So we created like a little animal zip line with string. So even things like that, like being like, let's make a zip line for your stuffed animals and then letting the ISTP or 8 figure it out, because those are fun things that for me is like little engineer brain. I'm like, how do I make this zip line for my stuffed animals? And yeah, just fun things like that. Any opportunity to do like gymnastics or any type of like flipping around, or like I think, Mom, you like braided together this rope with like really strong fabric, and I remember I like played with that rope and I tried to figure out like ways that I could hang from it. Building a tree house, that was so fun. I loved building a tree house. So like I think a lot of things with like forts and systems and like taking the lead of like some weird project, arts and crafts, no, just no. I was not a big arts and crafts girl. So I don't know. Those are like
We
some
should have given you a hammer and nails at a really young age.
exactly. No, seriously, let me build something in our treehouse. Let me like but obviously that's wisdom that don't give your kid a hammer and nails all the time.
But we did let you lead. We let you be the boss. You liked that. So we'd take turns being the boss, but we would let you be the boss a lot. So
Yeah,
it's
but I mean I think it's also good to not let the kid be the boss because I think I needed to be humbled a lot of the time. Consequences were good for me to like be humbled. And I think now growing up, I think that as an ISTP, I like understand the balance between like leading and not leading. I know what it is. That doesn't mean I'm good at carrying that out all the time. But yeah, so
And that's why we put you in school when you were four, because her birthday is in August 27th. And I thought this girl is going to be in charge of the classroom. So we're going to start her at four so that she's the youngest. You didn't like that a lot, like when your friends were driving and when you were the youngest all the time. But I think it helped with humbling you, like what
Yeah,
you
for
said.
sure.
Oh, I love you, hon. And thank you for
Oh, love
being
you,
here.
Mom.
Thanks so much for listening. It would be way too normal and expected for me to ask you for a review. So if you learned something new or just wanted to show the love, instead I'll just say, eat some soup. And that'll be my special way of asking, but not asking. So eat some soup. It'll make you feel all good and warm inside. And as a thank you, I'd love to offer you two free resources. The first is a beautifully illustrated ebook entitled 14 Instant Ways to Form a Deeper Connection with Your Child. And the second is a free child temperament test and video for gaining new insight into one of your children. You'll find these free resources at wendygossett.com. And you can also check out many helpful articles as well as buy a copy of Your Child's Inner Drive, Parenting by Personality from Toddlers to Teens. Or maybe you're ready. You're tired of riding the cranky train because there isn't enough peace in your home. So make the move and sign up for my Understanding Your Family 101 Brain Mapping Personality session. There are scads of helpful videos on my YouTube channel at Wendy Gossett, including the silly one of me dancing in a blizzard on the highway, embarrassing my child. So until next time, friends, keep dancing through the quirks and chaos of parenting, because who needs normal when you can thrive in the extraordinary?